We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 374 of the world's most mildly dangerous podcast. Joining me again this week, your friend and mine, Chris Garber. How are you, Chris?
Howdy.
Exactly. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Reds, if we must. Since that seven-game losing streak that had everyone ready to jump off a bridge, the Reds have gone 5-3. They've won a couple of two of the last three games by walk-off. In walk-off fashion, they won two out of three against the Chicago Cubs and then split with the White Sox. So 5-3, they're now one game under 500. At the moment, as we're recording this, 2.5 games out of first. I don't know, that kind of might be who this team is all season. Is that fair or unfair?
That seems about right. They may be a little better than they're probably a 500 team, but yeah, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah, right. I didn't mean to say they're necessarily a below average team, but this is just kind of how the season's probably going to play out. It's going to be up and down, and it's just going to be one of those years. Let's talk about the news of the week. We'll take it chronologically, and the big news was last Friday night, after everyone had consumed last week's fine podcast, Joey Votto hit a home run in the third inning against the Cubs. That was his 300th of his career, only the third Red ever to accomplish that feat. Who are the other two, Chris? Trivia time.
Let's see. Brian Goodwin and Curtis Goodwin.
So close. Johnny Bench and Frank Robinson. Does it surprise you that Adam Dunn didn't hit 300 with the Reds?
I was going to guess. I knew Johnny Bench did, and then I was thinking Frank Robinson did. Then I was like, well, if there's only two, Adam Dunn has to be one of them. So I would have been wrong.
Yeah, it really surprised me because, he ended up with, over 400 home runs. Surprised me that he did not hit 300 with the Reds, but he was still the best player to ever play for the Reds. I wrote about Votto at the magazine because I got to looking at his StatCast numbers. And, he's really, he said he wanted to get back to being dangerous. His StatCast numbers show that he's been dangerous this year, just basically unlucky, but lowest BABIP of his career, batting average on balls in play. And maybe we should just hold off on more Votto talk, you think?
Well, I guess there's one other thing to cover off on Votto.
Should we go ahead and do it now? I guess we should. Joey Votto is going to be out. Broke his thumb, hit by a pitch against the White Sox. Stayed in the game at first, but then was pulled. And then they're saying 3 to 4 weeks before we have him back. And so this is going to take some time to unpack. First of all, what were your thoughts about Votto? Do you feel like he was coming around? Were you okay with what you'd seen from him? Am I wrong about the fact that he looked like he was just kind of being unlucky? He was hitting more hard?
Yeah, it's a weird season. Like, if you'd asked me, is Votto having a good season? I would say, yeah, not bad.
Right.
And then I'd look and his batting average is .226 and his on base is .305. And I was like, well, that's bad. So...
Right.
So I don't know, but yeah, I think hopefully it was bad luck. I mean, I'm over, I'm resigned to the fact that Joey Votto 2017 is gone, long gone. and we're not going to get another one of those. But, you know, I guess Joey Votto 2019 is what we shoot for now, right?
Yeah, probably, which I'll take. I mean, Joey Votto 2017, and I made some aspirational comments, like he might be able to get back to that. But I think you're right. And it, how many times have we had a first baseman in the history of this franchise that was as good as Joey Votto 2017? So that's not a bad thing necessarily for the team. But, man, this is a terrible time, because I really did feel like he was, you know, just on the verge of maybe being at least somewhat closer to the Joey Votto we wanted. And now he's going to be out for a few weeks. And so the big question is, what do the Reds do in his absence? Because we don't know yet. Maybe by the time you listen to this, they will have announced what they're going to do in Friday's game. But what do we do about first base?
Well, I mean, there's Albert Pujols is available. He's looking good. You know, you get a Hall of Famer, step right in.
Oh, man. You know, if Walt Jocketty were still in charge?
Oh, my gosh. He'd already be on a plane flying east right now.
He would. And I still don't put it past him to do that. I've got.
Isn't Walter Jocketty still some sort of special advisor, counselor to the the cabbage or something?
What I'm envisioning right now is that Pujols is doing back-to-back Zoom meetings with Tony La Russa with the White Sox and Walt Jocketty. they're making offers to try to entice him to come, and maybe multi-year offers. If you hadn't heard, the Angels designated Albert Pujols for assignment, and Albert Pujols obviously a clear first ballot Hall of Famer who just tormented us for so many years, but. And who the Reds tried to sign, if you don't know that story, before they signed Votto to the long-term deal, when he was a free agent, they tried to sign Albert Pujols, which means who knows where Votto would have been at this point. But anyway, different story. It's not going to be Albert Pujols. We don't believe that, right?
No, I don't think it will be. It's unlikely.
Ugh. I think there's an obvious choice for who it should be, but I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are on how the Reds in this four-week period should replace
Votto. Well, now you've done this, like you say there's an obvious choice. If I don't say that name, I'm going to look like a fool. So when I say Alex Blandino at first, like he's been playing, I guess I'm wrong.
All right. Maybe not obvious. To me, it should be obvious, but I don't think it is obvious. I'm not sure that it's actually going to happen. To me, it's Jesse Winker. But doesn't that make sense to you?
Oh, man. I mean, I love the idea. I mean, somebody, what's the guy's name? There's the guy they drafted last year who's playing for, who's a first baseman, right? And somebody said, oh, the Reds, 2026 first baseman played his first game last night. And I said, no, it's going to have to get there over Jesse Winker's dead body, because I think that's where he's going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes so much sense to me. And it has always surprised me. And I think we maybe have talked about this during spring training, that he doesn't get more work at first base. He should be the backup first baseman. When Votto needs a break, it should be Jesse Winker, because long term, he's going to be a hard-hitting first baseman. But the question is, do we think that the Reds are actually going to do that?
No, I don't think at all. They've got these weird, guys can't learn a new position during the season kind of rules, apparently, in Cincinnati. So I don't think so. I think it's going to be Mike Moustakas, and then the train rotates around in some fashion.
Okay, well, let's unpack that then. I don't think it will be Moustakas, and I hope you're actually right, because that's much better than what I think it's going to be. So Moustakas moves across the diamond to first base. Who plays third then? You shift Gino back?
Well, I don't know, Blandino, I guess.
What about if we're not putting Winker in the infield?
Farmer?
Well, that's who I'm afraid is going to be at first base, actually. What about, I can't see them doing this either, but then again, based on information I had, I'm surprised that they have even played Nick Senzel in the infield at all this year. He's looked pretty good at second base. What about moving Senzel or Indy over to third? They're both third basemen.
I mean, Senzel, he's not allowed to play anything but center field now. I don't know what in the world the rules, how they came about, but that's how it is. So I think he's off the table for moving positions.
Maybe he's played a couple at second base, and so maybe they're. I can't see him playing. A third
maybe
position.
So
and do you move Indy as a rookie?
I mean, it's. I don't know why not. I mean, this is the thing. Like it's not impossible for these guys to play multiple positions. They've done it. I don't know. I mean, you look at a guy like Kyle Farmer, he plays like five positions. and all of a sudden it's impossible for some other guy because he's actually better at baseball to play multiple positions. Like, that's kind of a weird theory, isn't it?
And that seems to be the way they handle it. I mean, Senzel, India, and Farmer. Senzel and India have played far more third base than probably anyone in the organization other than Suarez, maybe Moustakas. You know, they played all the way back through college. They were third baseman in college most of the time in the minor leagues. I don't know. Shogo Akiyama's coming back, and, you know, he can't play infield. Senzel can. So
yeah, it makes too much sense. I maybe that's what they'll do. I don't know.
I think
maybe is Max Schrock down in Louisville now?
Who knows? He's on the train back and forth from Louisville. Is there a train back and forth from Louisville?
I was just going to ask that question. I mean, I've been reading all these...
high-speed rail?
High-speed rail. It's the way to go. Somebody, I'm sure, advocating for a Louisville to Cincinnati route.
Oh, man. It should be called the bullpen route or something. We can hurry and get relievers up to Cincinnati. What I think is actually going to happen is that Kyle Farmer is going to play first base. That's crazy, though. They're not going to do that, right?
No, they probably are. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a combination of stuff. I think it'll be a Farmer one day, and it'll be a Blandino another, and maybe they bring Schrock back up for a left-handed bat they can play there.
Well, you got Akiyama if you want a left-handed bat, and we don't know what to think of Akiyama. He is going to be back very soon, evidently, and, you know, he did not play tonight in Louisville, and so I expect he's going to be up tomorrow. Hamstring looks healthy. Supposedly he's... Fully 100% healthy. So, you know, I mean, if you want to get Winker or Senzel out of the outfield, you know, you got a guy that you can plug in. You're right. It's probably going to be paint by numbers every night, somebody different. But you know who played first base for a couple innings anyway the other night? Tyler Stevenson.
Well, I love that idea. I was just looking at the Louisville roster to see what they've got in the way of catchers that, you know, is there a legitimate backup catcher, you could come up here and you get Barnhart and Stevenson in the game every day.
I could live with that. Yeah. I could live with that.
Yeah. They've got a guy named Bo Taylor down there catching tonight.
Oh, the legendary Bo Taylor.
Went 2 for 3.
You know what he should do? He should grow a funky mustache and he'll become a legend in this organization.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tyler Stevenson looks more like a first baseman than he does a catcher. He's like 6'12 or something.
He's a big boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm happy if he can stay at catcher. How about that catching tandem the Reds have? I mean, we're just
pretty,
you know,
good. You're using tandem again, but yeah, it's pretty good.
That's true. But, you know, we all clamor for Tyler Stevenson, and he's been really good. But, you know, Tucker Barnhart must be hearing the footsteps. So far, so good from him. And I think sticking with just a left-handed hitting from the left side is, you know, I don't think he's going to hit like this all season, but. You know, clearly that's his strongest side. It was probably a good career move to just stick with left-handed hitting. Okay, so let's. Who's going to play the most games at first base in Votto's absence? Which player?
Correct.
who do you think is going to play the most games at first base?
Yes. If you hadn't said first base, I would have let it alone. But I apologize.
I don't know.
All right, third base.
Thank you. Maybe it's Moustakas. I don't know. Maybe you're right. You're not usually right, but maybe you are this time. Let's talk about what else we got going on around the league. I guess we got to talk about this Amir Garrett guy. You heard of him?
Yeah, he's a showboating son of a gun, I think. Is
something like that, yeah.
How it's known.
So, you know, Amir Garrett has struggled all season long. And we've discussed him at length here. And he came in against the Cubs. I think he had a good outing before that. But then he came in against the Cubs and struck out, what's the guy's name? Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear what you're... I've always defended Garrett on his showboating, whatever, you know. I'm okay with him having fun out there. But what happened was he screamed, he did his thing, and Javi Baez jumps over the dugout railing and comes out, and the bench is cleared, and everybody, you know, stood around for a little while. I'm still waiting for the first fight where the guys in the bullpen actually come running in and actually get involved in something there. But
just coming in clean house.
Right. What was your opinion of what of Garrett's actions.
All right. So I'm all for like letting the kids play and having fun and all that stuff. I do think it's a little bit different. I think celebrating your success and showing up the other guy are different things. And sometimes it's hard to tell which is which, but I think when you're yelling at the guy, it's a little bit of a different deal for me. And I think that's what Garrett was doing.
Yeah, you had to go ahead.
I didn't love it. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I defended him initially. And then I watched the replays, and he's and I still think the response from the league is ridiculous, as we'll get into. But, you know, Rizzo strikes out. He's walking away. And it looks like Garrett's screaming at him.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, you know, and Rizzo looked kind of bemused by the whole thing. But, I'm not nothing about these unwritten rules or anything like that. But, you know, if you're screaming at a guy on another team, I don't mind the teammate running out and, you know, confronting you about it. I don't think that's an unwritten rule thing. I think that's just competitive.
I mean, I don't know about coming out of the dugout, but I wouldn't appreciate it. And here's the other thing, and I think this goes back to, like, the fact that I was never really a pitcher. So I only see things from the other side of it. A home run's a whole lot more rare than a strikeout. Like, that's kind of what Amir Garrett's supposed to do. So, and that's kind of how I feel about Trevor Bauer, too. Like, the guy will literally celebrate one pitch and strut around for, like, 5 minutes after one pitch. And I get it. You're pumped up, and there's a lot of adrenaline, and I don't really care about it. But I am also kind of like, you struck out 14 guys today. Like, how many swing and misses are you going to celebrate? You know, it's like Barry Sanders celebrating a 6-yard gain. It's like, I don't know.
Well,
so that's kind of where I net out. Now, that none of that means that I think the guy should have got suspended for what he did.
Right. Yeah. Well, and we'll get into that. But first, I got to say, I disagree with your premise, because this season, home runs are not more rare than strikeouts for Amir Garrett.
Yeah. I mean, for him, and I get where he's coming from, too. But even more so to me, that's the case where I don't mind if he wants to scream and yell and pump his fist because he's so happy.
Right.
But why are you going to yell at another guy who's not having a terrible season? Like, where are we here?
But see, I couldn't tell whether he was actually yelling. He was yelling in the direction of Rizzo, but was he saying something to him? Or, you know, was it just that he was screaming to get himself pumped up and he was excited about it? It didn't have anything to do with Rizzo. I don't know. I couldn't tell what he was saying. I don't read lips.
All I know is the Reds seem to have this weird thing for Rizzo, and not to defend a Cub, but whenever they show him on TV with, like, mic'd up, he seems really cool.
He's like the only Cub that, you know, I could have less than, mixed feelings about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. I don't know, like, why they got this thing for Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah. But anyway, so Amir Garrett gets fined or gets suspended for 7 games for, you know, screaming.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, I don't know if you saw, somebody put on Twitter a video of, like, 5 different pitchers or 4 different pitchers all doing basically the same thing over the last 5 days. And, like, none of them got in any trouble at all, except for Amir Garrett gets a week suspension. Which is, like, I don't know that – did any of those guys in the Pirates who were actually hitting batters with pitched balls ever get suspended a week, like, when that whole thing finally broke down?
No way.
I mean – I just don't – it's kind of a lifetime achievement award, I guess. Like, it's tacked on from the Pirates thing a couple of years ago, that fight. But
I wonder if that has something to do with it, actually, another offense from this guy. But, you know, he didn't hit anybody. He didn't, you know, he didn't run over to the dugout to fight him like he did against the Pirates. He yelled, you know.
And, again, it's twice now that this, like – heckler's veto thing has come in, and it's not what the pitcher does that's gotten him in trouble. It's the fact, or I guess the pitcher, it's what the Reds player is
right.
done. It's the reaction from the opponent, which to me, I mean, if I'm the Reds now, every time somebody does something, I'm just going to run out on the field and start yelling.
Get them suspended.
Those guys will get suspended because someone's instigating an unsafe, you know, drop right. what spewing scenario.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I could maybe see objecting to Garrett's behavior a little more than what Nick Castellanos did. Well, maybe not really. I mean, you know, what? I like to know what he said, but, you know, Castellanos flexed and, you know, let's effing go. And, you know, and then walked away.
Yeah, I do think for Castellanos, I mean, it was kind of like the where he was. If you're that dude who's like kind of in a vulnerable position and you see this guy, I mean, the words that Castellanos said can be interpreted a lot of ways.
Right.
Like, that's what guys used to say at my school when they were ready to fight. Or it's also what people say when they're ready to get pumped up and, you know,
right.
score a run or something.
Yeah, I wish the Reds would get pumped up and score a run. That's all I want. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Seven games. I mean, just, I assumed after the Castellanos situation that Garrett was going to get suspended. I mean, I just had, but I thought, you know, and maybe with, since it's a pitcher, they, you know, they have to treat pitcher suspensions differently, but seven games just seems outrageous to me. And, you know, we have a question that I'm not sure we'll get to, but in viewer mail. But let me just read you a part of this. My friend Risto Neely. It appears to me that MLB is desperately, deliberately singling out Reds players for disciplines to make examples of them, or in retaliation for the players speaking out about the league's inconsistency and handing out discipline to them. Your thoughts? You know, and a lot of people are saying, "Oh, there's a vendetta against the Reds." I don't know that that's the case. I mean, that seems crazy. But, you know, and we follow the Reds closer than anyone else, so maybe other teams are getting the same type of treatment. But, yikes, we're just a month into the season, and two just inexplicable decisions from the home office in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah, I don't want to fall into the, like, they're out to get us thing. I mean, most of the time people don't care enough to be out to get you. But I think it's more just incompetence and like insanity rather than actual, like, you know, malice against the Reds or prejudice against the Reds.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Although I do like the conspiracy theory that Michael Hill, who was with the Marlins, and some people thought he's from Cincinnati. And so some people thought, oh, he might be the next, he would replace Dick Williams.
Oh, right, right.
Be the director of baseball operations, whatever. He's the guy that's like the head disciplinarian for MLB now. And so I like the conspiracy theory that he's so mad that he didn't get the Reds job that he's taking it out on the Reds.
Spite the players, huh?
Yeah. Or maybe he doesn't want to think that he's showing favoritism to his hometown nine. I don't know. No, it's just, I've got no explanation. I've got no explanation for it. And it's just, it's frustrating, though. Anyway, can I ask you about Gino? This is Eugenio Suarez I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah. Is he coming out of it?
Man, I don't know. I'm starting to... I'm not seeing any real signs. I think we talked about this last week, didn't we? I'm still not really seeing, like, any... I hate to go back and sound like Joe Morgan or Barry Larkin, but I'm not seeing any... I'm not seeing any consistency out of him.
Barry Larkin is Joe Morgan, isn't he?
It's in, yeah. And there was a remark the other night where
it hurts me.
So Larkin said, you know, he's talked about productive outs, and Larkin's talked about consistency, which was a Joe Morgan like catchphrase for a while, which they both just mean being good,
right?
Like getting a lot of hits over a season rather than like two hits in a night, I guess, is being consistent. But the other night he was talking to John Sadak and they were talking about Tony La Russa and Larkin. His conversation implied that he didn't know that Tony La Russa was in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And he said something like, "Yo, those credentials will get him in the Hall of Fame someday, or they're good." No. He said it this way. He said, those are good enough for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Sadak's like, well, yeah, he's elected in the Hall of Fame in 2014. And Larkin, like, almost stopped the broadcast to make sure that everybody knew that he knew that. And that when he said what he said, he was smiling. But Sadak was busy calling the game, so he wasn't looking at Larkin, didn't realize it was a joke, which, you know, nor was any of the millions of people watching on TV able to see the wink, apparently, that he was delivering. And it was just kind of a Morgan, like, it reminded me of Joe Morgan, like this odd defensiveness.
Yeah.
And, you know, this insisting that you're always right and insisting that people know you're right.
Yeah, Morgan had that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I don't think Larkin's better than he was the first week.
He's gotten better.
But he's still not good.
No, you know, and it's similar because a legendary player, Hall of Famer,
yeah,
you know, who maybe doesn't understand why he was so good.
Yeah. And I'll say, like, I do think Joe put a little more effort into it. Larkin still gives me the impression that he just, like, thought this would be fun. And he just got to go hang out and watch the game and see what happens and talk. Like, it's in that way, it's like A-Rod.
Oh, yeah.
It's like just not planning anything and just saying what comes into your mind because people should care because you're a great player.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's that. Because maybe, you know, he just, in comparison to Sadak, who seems to me to be exceptionally prepared every broadcast, I don't know. I just, you know, I didn't want Larkin to be the manager of the team because he's a legend. He's my favorite player of all time, you know, and I didn't want his that kind of legacy to be tarnished a little bit. And I don't know if being a bad broadcaster is going to do it. And then maybe he'll get better. I don't know. He has gotten somewhat better, but
I just rather listen to Chris Welsh. I mean, I think that's, like, for me, all it is. Like, I don't care if Barry Larkin's good or bad. Well, he's just not as good as the guy we had before, and therefore I'd like the other guy back.
Yeah, but he was a better player than the other guy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Welsh, as a color guy, you know, I got no complaints. I've never had any complaints about him, not just because he's a friend of the podcast, but I mean, he's good at that job. He's much better, frankly, on television than he's on radio, if you've heard him any on radio. And he's fine on radio, but he's much better at television. He's kind of getting...
Yeah, and I think he'll get radio. Like, that's the thing with him. Like,
yeah.
But he's going to have to suffer for half a year until he gets, you know, significantly better at it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think it's just he doesn't really know radio, you know, because he's doing more play-by-play over there, which he hasn't really had to do on television. And we got off on a tangent here. We're supposed to be talking about Geno, but we are well known for going off on tangents, you and I. What frustrates me is that Welsh is really good on television. And, you know, I disliked Jeff Brantley early in his career, but he has gotten so much better
on
radio.
Counts. Yep.
I really disliked his, it seemed like a shtick, the whole cowboy thing early on. And
do you remember the night real early on when he was like, and
Edwin
Encarnacion is not clutch.
Yeah.
And then like 6 seconds later, he hits a game winning home run.
Loved it.
And like that was emblematic of that whole first season when he was on TV.
He was rough, but he has settled into his role. He's going to play by play, and he actually, in terms of his color commentary, I mean, you know, as a pitcher, he, you know, maybe the same thing with Welsh. They kind of have this different way of looking at the game, and he's actually good now. So we have good color guys. Why are we screwing around with it?
Because one guy's famous.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's how it's going. You know, the Reds have not really ever been super good at saying no to their legends.
Like Doug Flynn and Danny Graves? Sam LaQuier?
No, maybe not them, but anybody who's in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
In any part of the Hall of Fame. They would give them an awful long leash along with anybody who's in their family.
Kenny Larkin, his brother Kenny Larkin, is that who you're talking about?
There's no Kenny Larkin.
No, there wasn't a Kenny Larkin?
There's a Mike and a Byron and a Steven.
I thought Kenny Larkin played basketball for like Dayton or UC or somewhere. Yeah, you know, I mean, I can see the scenario where Larkin was like, hey, why don't you let me announce a few games?
You know, it feels like what it was.
Yeah, and Kessler's
sure
like,
they didn't
sure.
like call him up out of the blue and be like, hey, it's been 17 years. What do you think about being an announcer?
Well, he'd been working with minor league guys, and I think he'd been pretty active working with minor league guys, and I don't know any reason to stop him doing
that.
Yeah,
I mean, I just figure he was around the office and was like, hey, you know what I'd like to do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. We'll send Chris Welsh out to Siberia.
That's the frustrating part of it. Anyway, remember like a, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago, we were talking about Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, right.
You know, he had a good game on Sunday. And so I wrote about how bad he has been, but how, you know, maybe this was a turning point for him. You never know until you look at it in retrospect. But I was really sort of taken by Joey Votto's comments about Eugenio. After, you know, Jay Bruce retired, and Votto made a comment about how Bruce was his favorite teammate ever. And a couple days later, he says in his postgame press conference, while he's wearing Sonny Gray's high school football jersey.
He's nuts, man.
He is. He's worn Kyle Farmer's now and Sonny Gray's. And the word is that he has a lot more of those to come the rest of the season.
It sounded like he or someone that he knows has been like in contact with high school athletic directors around the country. And is like requesting these.
Yeah.
And some of them are the real thing, right? Like the Sonny Gray jersey was actually Sonny Gray's jersey because it was like a medium.
Right. Yeah, he was busting out of it. You know, I get, again, we're digressing because that's what we do. But I got so much flack on the Twitters when I suggested that the Reds need to put a Captain C on Joey Votto's uniform. Because, oh, he's not a leader. And a lot of people that have never been in the clubhouse, he's not a leader. And maybe he's not. I don't know. I've not been in the clubhouse either. But, man, I see stuff like that. I see that he learned Spanish. He started learning Japanese so he could, converse with Shogo Akiyama. He learned Spanish, so a lot of his teammates speak Spanish. And stuff like this, reaching out to high school athletic directors and getting high school football uniforms, that just seems like a leader to me. I don't know that he is, but anyway, put the captaincy on a jersey. But he went on and on about how he went to Suarez the next day and said, listen, I told him that. I played with him in the minor leagues, 9 years in the big leagues or whatever. But, at some point, you may pass him up, and it really was a glowing portrait of what the relationship he and Suarez has. Suarez is gonna hit, right? I mean, we've had this conversation, I think, last week.
Yeah.
He's gonna hit, right?
I hope so. I'm not counting on it really anymore.
Really?
I mean, look, this team's not gonna be any good if he's not good.
True.
I'm just beyond the point of counting on him to be good.
Well, it's good defensively. Never mind. I love that guy, though. Is he the most likable Red of your lifetime? Other than Brad Golden, obviously.
Oh, man. More so than Brian Pena?
He was pretty likable, actually.
He was a self-proclaimed great person.
That's right. So am I.
I would. I'm just going to have to defer to George Grand on who is the most likable and lovable Red of our lifetime.
Who does he say?
I don't know. I'm just. I want to ask him.
George Grand might be the most likable.
I think that's probably right. I mean, I don't know how Suarez passes Jay Bruce in either favorite teammate or most affable.
Yeah, Jay was affable.
But I do enjoy. I do enjoy Gino.
Yeah, yeah.
Good guy.
Seems to be. I don't know him. He's never been in my kitchen. I don't even know. All right, so what else we need to talk about? Did we talk about Joey Votto getting hurt?
Yeah. Got okay. Covered. Check.
Let's stop talking about the Reds for just a moment, and let's talk about the Chattanooga Lookouts.
Ooh.
Have you heard of them?
You tricked me. You tricked me, yeah, because I was all ready to talk about Louisville Bats, so now we're just...
Nah, we're skipping over them. Although, okay. Tony Santillan, former top pitching prospect of this organization, looked pretty good yesterday.
Dude's still around. All right, good for him.
All right, exactly. But we are going to talk about pitchers. First of all, have you seen the highlights of Chattanooga's first two games where they're wearing these uniforms, at least on the first day, the uniforms said, apostrophe, Nuga.
No. <Isn't that> No.
Nuga. No. I wanted a Snickers. I don't know. I always got to have some nougat humor in the podcast.
Nougat?
Here. Yeah. Hunter Green. First of all, healthy. Thank goodness.
Sure looks like it.
So he struck out 8 batters. He pitched the opening day game for Nuga. Struck out 8 batters, no walks, 71 pitches, 5 innings. He, it gave up 1 earned run on 3 hits. So 71 pitches, 51 strikes, but threw 43 fastballs in the game. 37 of them were higher than 100 miles per hour. 37 100 mile per hour pitches.
I mean, that's bonkers. Like, that's fake news.
StatCast began tracking these things in 2015. Nobody in the major or minor leagues.
Are we sure somebody didn't hack StatCast in some way?
Perhaps. Probably those dang guys at Reddit. Those guys are always causing problems.
Fark do it?
Fark, what year is this? 37 fastballs of 100 miles per hour more. Most in a game, either minor league or major league baseball, since StatCast began tracking. Hunter Green might
That's
be...
crazy.
Meanwhile, we have Jeff Hoffman starting in the major leagues.
What's the story? The there's no such thing as a pitching prospect. That's the saying, right?
Right, yeah.
So the theory is the guys are either going to, you know, if they're going to get hurt or they're going to be good.
Don't say that. Please don't say that.
Well, fair.
Hunter Green's not going to get hurt.
When they're good, get them up and let them pitch in the major leagues when they're good. And I'm going to have a hard time somebody telling me that a guy who throws 35 balls over 100 miles an hour, like, can't pitch in the major leagues. Like, just bring him up.
For real. He's healthy.
Just do it. He's going to pitch those innings. Where do you want him? Where do you want him pitching them?
Well, do we worry about him being put in the bullpen?
No, Jeff Hoffman can go to the bullpen.
I'm just saying, do we worry about the Reds putting him in the bullpen and...
Oh, and then loving it and never taking him out?
And never taking him out, right.
That would never happen in Cincinnati.
Well, that's a good point. It's a good point.
Never happened before.
Why would we ever think that might happen?
Just don't worry about that.
Okay. All right. I'm with you. It's crazy. This is the first game he's pitched above, single A, low A, I think. So it's kind of crazy. But I have a hard time seeing how with this battered bullpen that he can't help this team. And maybe in the rotation, I'm willing to talk about that. But definitely in the bullpen, he could help the team. But about the rotation, can I tell you about the guy who pitched in game 2 for the the Nuga Lookouts?
The Nugas, please.
Yeah. Nicola Lodolo, first round pick a couple years ago.
Lodolo.
Lodolo. Lodolo. I don't know how else to pronounce that. 5 innings pitched, 2 hits allowed. No walks, 10 strikeouts in 5 innings. Now, how's that?
I think that's good.
Is he better than Jeff Hoffman?
Yeah, bring him up.
I think everybody's better than Jeff Hoffman is what we're trying to say here. Bless his heart. He's done okay, smoke and mirrors, but he's done okay. But do you think my thought is that both those guys will be up by the end of the year. Do you think that's crazy?
I think it's crazy, but I'd love to see it happen.
It's not what we've seen from the Reds in the past, but I know it's just double A, whatever. They're pitching against the trash pandas or something.
You see who else is on that team is Nick Howard from the University of Virginia.
Thank you. I wasn't going to mention it, but thank you.
First round pick 7 years ago.
Deserving first round pick and probably going to be a big league star.
28 years old. Pitching well in double A in his first outing.
Listen, when you were 28 years old, were you pitching in double A?
True. Very good point.
He's a Wahoo. And the Reds only have 1 Virginia graduate on their team. They need another one.
It's true.
Yeah. Sean has done little so far.
That's a good one.
It's not really a good one. It's bad.
Pretty basic.
I want him to do better. He's actually been okay, but he had a bad outing last time. Yeah, he's just... He is what he is. Who has been good in the Reds bullpen?
Well,
one guy.
Kinda. If you forget the first batter he faces every time, that's a weird thing.
TJ Antone, you're talking about, obviously. Yeah. Weird. I don't get it. But other than that, he's been, gosh, this bullpen is a disaster zone. Carson Fulmer is one of the best relievers they've got.
Well, as we expected.
As expected, yeah. We did predict that before the season. I don't want to talk about the bullpen anymore. You want to answer some
viewer mail? Fast forward.
Yeah, please. No way you want to hear about that. Let's dig into viewer mail.
Done.
That seems to be the most painless
people love
way.
It. People love it.
They do love it. They clamor for it. Before we do that, we got to issue some thank yous to some new Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/redlegradio, where you too can support the world's most dangerous podcast. Pleased and thankful for the people that have been joining over the last few weeks. Numbers keep growing, and thank you all so much. This week, we got a couple people we need to talk about, and we got to assign them a position on the Red Leg Nation Radio Beer League softball team. The first is Ronnie Justice. Ronnie Justice, he's, you know, you know him from Twitter, twitter.com. He's out there tweeting about the Reds and good guy. And he decided to join the family this week. Ronnie, thank you so much. Where does Ronnie play on this team?
It's like his cousin David. He's an outfielder.
That's what I'm
he's
thinking.
Right field.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have I told you my David Justice story?
Nope.
So, you know, I'm a teenager, and we're at the Synergy Field.
You are not a teenager.
I'm not now, no, but I was at one point.
Oh, I didn't hear the flashback
yeah.
music.
Right, yeah, sorry. Exactly. This is a dream sequence here, Chris. Come on, get with it. And so we're standing out at venerable Synergy Field, and I really feel bad calling it that. It was a river front. And we were out in the right field stands, you know, batting practice. We're trying to catch home run balls. And I've got a 12-year-old cousin with us, a little younger than me, and he's just basically screaming at Dave Justice to throw him a ball up there during batting practice, as kids do when they're at the ballpark. You know, oh, throw me a ball, throw me a ball.
Politely or obnoxiously?
A little obnoxiously, but he's a 12-year-old.
Okay.
So he just keeps going on and on. He keeps yelling, like, dude, come on, calm down. But then again, it's Dave Justice, so screw Dave Justice.
Here, right? Yeah.
You know, he's a brave, who cares? And at some point, Dave Justice reaches up to, like, scratch the back of his head and flips off my 12-year-old cousin. It's a legendary story in our family.
Delightful.
So, Ronnie, thank you for joining us. We're going to put you in right field. You're going to be our slugging right fielder, but let's not flip off the kids, okay? I mean, is that too much to ask? Next comes Andrea Ross. Is it Andrea or Andrea? What would you say?
Andrea?
You're going to have to tell us. Andrea Ross, thank you so much for joining us here. What position do we give Andrea here?
Second base.
Okay.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking catcher, actually.
Oh. I think she could really pick it at second base, turn the double play and whatnot.
There you go. Okay. All right. Yeah. She's no Kyle Farmer is what you're saying.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah. Much better. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate that. And hope you enjoy being a part of the family. First question in viewer mail comes from our friend Kyle Kapler. Kyle asks, when are you guys going to write the forgettable 50? The men and moments that made the Cincinnati Reds in the 2010s tolerable.
Oh, that's brutal. That is brutal.
That's good, though. I guess we got to start tonight writing that.
I thought he was just going to go with like a... Just like obscure former Reds book is what I thought he was going with that.
You know, that kind of it'd be fun to write, but I don't know if anybody would read it.
Like three guys.
Yeah. Like, you know, Luis Quiñones's mom.
The guy that runs the obscure former Reds Twitter account.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That guy would read it. He might be the only one.
Probably our parents. They'd buy it. They wouldn't read it.
I'm still waiting for my wife to read the big 50.
Yeah, that's not happening at my house either.
Gosh, such a great book. Yeesh. All right, Joe Farsing asks, 20, and for some reason there are a number of Simpsons questions this week. Why do you think that is?
I'll allow it. Did you advertise that I was going to be on the show?
I did, and we seem to get Simpsons questions.
They know I have no other pop culture references anymore. So,
well, I think part of it is that
appreciate it, guys.
we're basically the same age, and so our pop culture references are limited, but they're the same ones. Yeah. Joe asks, 22 short films about Springfield is the most underrated Simpsons episode. Discuss amongst yourselves, please, gentlemen. Maybe that's a good episode.
That is a really good episode. Is that That's the one where they've got the Pulp Fiction deal.
A parody of Pulp Fiction, basically, yeah.
Yeah, with the whatever that bank robber guy's name is.
You're not much of a Simpsons fan.
What is that guy's name? Oh, that's the one with the steamed hams.
Steamed hams isn't that one?
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you talking about Snake? Is that who we're talking about? Snake.
Snake, yeah.
Snake, yeah. Steamed hams. I'm looking here at the 20. I've got the 22 here. Yeah. While hosting Superintendent Chalmers for lunch. Excuse me. Super Nintendo Chalmers for lunch. Principal Skinner burns his roast and bluffs his way through the meal. Steamed hams. Oh, that's the one with the old guy getting it. Getting a football in the groin, right?
I think it is. Yeah. Now, is this the one with Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel, like spinoff show, or is that a different episode?
I think that might be a different episode.
Like where they had the song, the lyrics, something like, "Most folk will never eat a possum, but some focal."
Yeah, it's Cletus the Slack-Jawed Yokel. I think that's a different one. This one I'm reading here says Cletus offers Brandine some shoes he found on a telephone line. I don't remember that short film.
Brandine.
Brandine. While bike riding with Mr. Burns, Smithers suffers an allergic reaction to the bee's sting and rides to the hospital, but the orderlies admit only Burns. I don't know. What do you think about Dr. Nick, by the way? You a fan?
I mean, he's in my bottom half. I'm being honest. My kids were trying out a Dr. Nick impression around the house last year for a while, and it got kind of tiresome, so maybe that's it.
Here's the best of those films, and we'll move on. When Nelson laughs at the guy in a small car, and he gets out, and he's like really tall.
Everyone deserves affordable transportation, even the very tall, or something like that.
That was the worst Nelson impression ever there.
It was pretty feeble.
It was not much effort there. Andrew Scott Wills. If Bob Castellini operated a restaurant chain, what would it be? And I thought and thought about what the answer to this might be, because I wanted to say something like Applebee's or, I don't know, Chili's, but that's a little bit high-end for Bob Castellini.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have a roller hot dogs on in it. It's like the main entree.
Probably the Quickie Mart then, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
UDF, I don't know.
UDF?
It's already taken by Red's owner.
Right.
I had forgotten that they owned that place until I the other night the kids wanted ice cream, and they opened a Dairy Queen in our town, and it literally had a line around the block, like 30 cars in the Dairy Queen drive-thru.
Wow.
So we drove down the road to the UDF where nobody ever goes, and free second scoop Ooh. Of any berry flavor this month.
Wow. Well, did you enjoy your trip to UDF?
I did. It was delicious, and it's affordable.
There you go.
But anyway, there was a sign on the wall, like with their, "You can't eat inside because of coronavirus," but it was signed the Lindner family.
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to have to go with UDF because you just described the Reds. Delicious, but affordable.
Yeah, well, there you go. Right. I think I just did our first live read for a sponsor of this program, too. So
I think you're right.
Send the check.
Oh, the money's going to start flowing in.
That milk money.
Got to get some of that sweet, sweet milk money. All right. Mike Perry, this question I get asked often. Will the Reds be buyers, sellers, or stay put at the trade deadline? Regardless of what happens, at least Castellini is saving money. Fans love that stuff.
You know, it's too bad they don't allow you to bring a sign down to the ballpark anymore, a placard.
Right.
Because I would have one that says, like, you know, cost certainty on it.
Would you bring a placard, really?
Some sort of banner. Remember back in the day when people would take their bed sheets and like spray paint a word on it and haul it down to the stadium and then parade around with it?
Oh yeah. Hey, go watch the home run that Johnny Bench hit on Johnny Bench Day. There's like out on the Riverfront Stadium, there's like a bed sheet, and I can't remember what it says. Something, you know, "We love you, Johnny," or something. But it's hanging over off the green seats in left field. You can see it when he hits the home run. Somebody just pulled the sheet. I don't have it. I don't have any cardboard. What am I gonna do?
Yeah. That's better. You can pack it. You know, I know you're boycotting live attendance at GABP this year, but I'm wondering, are the Reds enforcing that really draconian, like, no bag policy? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't know if they are this year, but they did last year. Well, I didn't go last year, the year before.
Well, because we went to a spring training game, and my wife, they wouldn't even let her bring her purse in the stadium.
Yeah. You had to have, like, a clear bag.
Well, not even allowing that anymore. Now have a wrist something, a wristy pack. I don't know.
What about the fanny pack that you commonly wear to baseball games?
I had to take that off.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's, yeah.
What's the reason for that?
I think here's the theory. The theory is, if you let them bring in bags, you got to search the bags. And if you search the bags, then you got people masked up and congregating and risking spreading germs.
And you got to pay somebody to search the bags. Yeah, I guess I can see.
Yeah.
They're going to bring COVID in, or they're a terrorist. Yeah. One of the two.
Right. I did think it was actually kind of cool at the Phillies minor league park, because they, you know, your first response is, whoa, what about my sunscreen and my sanitizer? And they said, don't worry about that, folks. We've got them. And they had, like, you know, the hand sanitizer dispensers all over the ballpark. But they also had suntan lotion dispensers, the same kind of deal.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. You, like, wave your hand under there and it puts a, you know, a gob of that stuff in there.
I mean, if you care about that stuff.
That was Florida.
You got the 150 SPF, right?
I got to take care of myself here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Can't be wrinkling.
Mike, the answer is they will not be buyers. I don't think they'll be sellers either. I think they're just going to stay put at the trade deadline. I don't see them doing anything. They haven't done anything in a year. Why would they start now? Nathan Connor asks, when Kirk and Luann Van Houten got a divorce, Kirk bought a bed that looked like a race car and Luann started dating American Gladiator Pyro. So who's buying the Reds as a post-divorce rebound, Bill or Melinda Gates?
I saw, I don't know if he saw this too, but there was somebody tweeted yesterday about the Bill Gates divorce, and they had that picture of Kirk Van Houten's race car bed. And it said, like, Bill Gates is going on a spree or something like that.
I wonder if he was going to move to the Bachelor Arms apartment complex where Kirk stayed.
I think Bill Gates is going to be fine.
I think he's going to be fine. I feel bad about we're kind of jesting a little about his misfortune.
Poking fun.
We're poking a little fun, and divorce is not a fun thing, but I don't know. We can have fun.
You ask the questions, we'll answer them.
Joe Farsing says,
good taste or not.
Exactly. Joe says, Reds are the gift nobody wants. Like Milhouse. That wasn't nice.
Which are the teachers who's like, oh, no one likes Milhouse?
Well, Milhouse would be in Lisa's. No, he's in Bart's grade, so it'd have to be Mr. Krabappel.
Like, might have been the music teacher or something.
Oh, yeah. Could be.
Because they were like, you know, Bart likes Lisa, or not Lisa, Bart likes Janie, and Janie likes Nelson, and somebody else likes Milhouse. And they're like, oh, stop it. Nobody likes Milhouse.
It's true. Jackson Lotta, I think this came up last week. We were discussing this future with the Reds, who isn't the obvious choice, but Winker at first base while Joey Hills. That's what we discussed that. You're absolutely right, Jackson.
It's a rerun.
Chuck Nichols, happy Star Wars Day and Cinco de Mayo. One question for you, Chet. This one's just for me, Chris. You can take a moment.
Signing off.
Please tell me you stocked up on cigars when you visited Ybor City last week, and what kind of cigars do you prefer? I did go to Ybor City last week, and only wanted to go there because a band I like, The Hold Steady, constantly talk about Ybor City. And it was pretty cool. It was fun.
Isn't Lou Piniella from there?
You know, I think he might be. Yeah. I mean, it's in Tampa, and Lou Piniella's from Tampa, so it could be. A lot of cigar shops, and it was kind of interesting. You know, a lot of neighborhoods, a lot of the hip neighborhoods. They'll have people, you know, sitting outside drinking their beverages and, you know, congregating in Florida. That's what they do. And
nothing is hip like beverages.
Exactly. Well, in Ybor City, there are multiple places where you just, you know, people sitting outside smoking cigars, just hanging out like you would at a bar, but instead of, and they, I guess they had drinks too, but all smoking cigars. I did not purchase any cigars. I have been a cigar smoker off and on over the years. I like a cigar called a Padron. Nicaraguan wrapper, filler tobaccos, blended for optimal flavor and quality. Notes of cocoa, cayenne, nuts, and spices converge in a savory and balanced finish. That's my go-to, the Padron. But I'm not a, I don't smoke that often. But I do like a cigar occasionally. Do you like a cigar, Chris?
Yeah, I used to. I haven't smoked in a long time, but I'm not against cigars.
Okay. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, but a cigar, I like. I'll do a cigar.
Wow.
I know, right? What that I've never smoked a cigarette?
Yeah, you live in Virginia. It's tobacco country.
It literally is tobacco country, yes. I have a friend that's on the Tobacco Commission.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't know. I just somehow never.
Commissioner of Tobacco.
Ooh, wouldn't that be. What would happen if Rob Manfred were the commissioner of tobacco?
different types of cigarettes would be arbitrarily banned.
I think so. Yeah,
I guess so. They're doing that anyway. So,
John Majewski, you know, good question, but I think we kind of got to it earlier. Earlier in the podcast about the taunting versus celebrating, and I think you're right. I agree with what you say, John, but we kind of already got into that. Thank you for your question. Joey Gaditza, hey guys, with Shogo back any day, where does he hit in the lineup? Looking forward to his return. I don't know, he's got to get in the lineup, you know. Maybe with Joey Votto being out, it's you can get Shogo back in the lineup, but I think he's hitting seventh or eighth probably. And what's he shown us? Exactly.
Dotus.
Peter Skills Wills asks, Jesse Winker's had an amazing start to the season. Seems to be a shooting.
Hold on, did he just give himself a nickname?
He did, yes. Peter Skills Wills.
I like it.
I do too. I approve. Jesse Winker's had an amazing start to the season. Seems to be a shooting for all star this trajectory, but am I losing my mind when I think he keeps this up and ends up top five for NL MVP? Yeah, you may be insane, but I think Jesse Winker is a legitimate star in this league now.
Yeah, I do too. He's a real deal.
Yeah, he's an all-star, and so yeah, it's not that big of a bump up to being top five in NL MVP. He has shown me enough that he's the real deal. Ronnie Justice, one of our newest family members here at Red Leg Nation Radio. Patreon.com/RedLegRadio. I liked hearing Chad and Chris's comment. First of all, nobody believes that, Ronnie.
Let's stop right there.
Yeah, let's stop there.
See you later.
That's the first time anybody's ever complimented any of our comments. About the things they saw in Florida on the podcast last week. I think he's talking about the crazy bicycle guy. Does Chad or Chris have any more crazy stories about their time in Florida? Love the podcast. Go Reds. You ain't crazy stories about your time in Florida.
Oh. No, I don't think so.
I talk about the in depth about the Tampa Bay Rays game I went to last week? I can't remember.
Oh, really? Not really. Is it crazy?
There was one moment. It was fun. It really felt good to be in a ballpark. I mean, it felt good. My brother and I were there, but there's this relief pitcher for the Rays, and I'm blanking on his name right now. I mean, for the Blue Jays. And he's out in the bullpen. We were sitting out in left field, you know, kind of close to the bullpen that's out down the line down there. And so he's warming up, and before every warm-up pitch, he like squats down, like, you know.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, you mentioned this guy.
Oh, did I mention him last week?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I won't mention it again, but I need to post that video. But, man, that was fun. It was fun watching when he got in the game and everybody was screaming squat at him. And my brother suggested that we need to keep that video to motivate us on days when we just don't feel like working out.
That's a good idea. Yeah, just play that on a loop.
Right. Squat. James Ward, good question. I think we've already answered it. Brandon Taylor, from some quick Googling, I'm pretty sure the Reds haven't seen six games over 500 since mid-2014. Good grief. The Reds haven't been six games over 500 in 7 years?
It's not good.
Why are we doing this?
Well, this is it.
This is the final
episode.
Thank
you for bringing that to our attention.
We're done.
The show is over.
So with that in mind, Brandon says, it got me to think about the Reds' glorious rebuild. I detect a note of sarcasm there. To me, it's like being in season 8. Do you think the Reds will do anything special in the 10th year of the rebuild? Maybe a Jocketty bobblehead night? Castellini family poster night? Free LaRoses to fans who can name a player the Reds received for Aroldis Chapman?
Rookie Davis.
It's going to be Rookie Davis night. He'll come back. He'll be, gut because he's been retired for 6 years. And oh, it's going to be fun. Oh, man. This rebuild has not gone well, Chris.
No, not when you put it that way. Just, if you care about, like, you know, winning games and stuff, no, it hasn't.
You know, is it, what's crazier? Just continue to follow the Reds really closely through these 7 years where they've been garbage mostly, or literally taking time every single week to talk about the Reds.
It's on you, man.
To yeah, record it.
I think it's on you. I think, you can't, the guys who sit passively and watch it on TV, I mean, they've got an answer for that, but we're really the ones in trouble.
I think you're right. I think we're the problem here. One last question, because from my buddy Rich Thompson. Rich, by the way, a big cyclist, and so he enjoyed our cycling discussion last week.
Sorry, I honestly thought you said a big cyclops.
he may be that. I mean, I've seen pictures of him, but I've not seen him in real life.
Rich. All right.
Dear Chad and Chris, for some reason, I find this Reds team eerily similar to some from the 80s. For example, just like some of those 80s teams, this current Reds team has some decent starting pitchers and some nice position players to tantalize us enough to think they just might make the playoffs. However, just like those 80s teams, I feel like the 2021 Reds might just be teasing us and will ultimately crush our hearts, much like Lisa Simpson did to poor Ralphie Wiggum on Valentine's Day. I choose you.
Choose.
Yeah. Now, since we're reminiscing about the 80s, well, you've been reminiscing, but now we are, I guess. Do you think any of the following classic 80s hits will be applicable to the 2021 Reds by the end of the season? And Rich, I appreciate you. Rich puts a lot of thought into his questions every single time. So here are his three choices. Which of these will be applicable to the 2021 Reds by the end of the season? ABCs. Do you remember a group ABC?
Yes, I do.
Another Bad Creation? Sings? What?
No.
Another Bad Creation was from the 90s. Remember that group? It was like the...
It's not... this is different.
ABC was like the mini Bell Biv DeVoe.
No. Not from the 80s.
Right, I know. That was the 90s. Who's ABC?
ABC in the 80s was like an English band. Like a new wave, I guess you'd call them, or something. I don't know.
Like a
they
band
had a song
in England.
They had a song called When Smokey Sings.
I remember that song.
That's ABC.
That's a pretty good song. Okay. Well, the one he suggests is Poison Arrow, parenthetical information to follow. You Broke My Heart, You Did. I don't remember that song. Poison Arrow. You remember that one?
No, but it's the same, I think. I think it's the same ABC.
Maybe.
From the album The Lexicon of Love, which is a cool name for an album.
It is. I have it on vinyl. No, I don't. Second one is Men at Work. It's a Mistake. Okay, maybe. You like Men at Work?
That's a good song.
What was Men at Work's their big song? They had a really good song.
Down Under?
Oh, yeah. That's a good song. I like that. I'm younger than you, so I don't remember all these things that you remember about the 80s.
You're like 6 months younger than me.
Not even that many months, I don't think. And third, Cyndi Lauper's True Colors. Rich says he does prefer Seth MacFarlane's / Peter Griffin's Family Guy version better. I got to go find that. But You Broke My Heart, It's a Mistake, or True Colors? Which one's gonna define the 2021 Reds?
I don't know. I mean, I think True Colors. Yeah. I mean, they're kind of they are what I expected them to be, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I'd probably go off the board here and go with Dixie's Midnight Runners.
Come on, Eileen.
Yeah, come on, Eileen. Come on.
You know. Seriously, when you said he had which of these 80 songs, that's the one that started playing in my head.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how we're going to work this in.
It's the quintessential 80s song.
Oh, that's a great song, too.
You know, my son, who is currently a teenager, you know the teens these days. Well, you know, he's upstairs taking a shower, as teenagers will occasionally do, and playing his music way too loud. And all of a sudden, on his playlist, I hear, Come on, Eileen. I'm like, oh, this kid's all right. Because I mean, think about when you were in the 80s. The kids are all right. It's a good movie. Would you have played a song from the 60s when you were... Of course, you'd had to tote your record player in there, or your boombox.
I do remember the band The Doors becoming a very big thing when I was probably, 14, 15?
Yeah.
There was kind of a mid-to-late 80s Doors revival that thankfully burned out pretty quickly.
What I found for my kids, and maybe your kids are getting a little bit to this age, so maybe you can tell me later whether you see the same thing. But my kids have been. And I tried to introduce them to good music as well, but because of Spotify, man, they listen to music from every generation. Basically, there's no where I would never have been able to hear the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, if my parents didn't have a Beatles vinyl or something. So
yeah, pretty much same thing. I hooked the kids on the Beatles when they were young. I kind of just like brainwashed them with it. And they're so legitimately good that it's easy to do that. So they've got that, but otherwise I can't vouch for them.
I've tried to get my kids hooked on the Beatles and they like them. My daughter, she loves to play Come Together on the guitar and, you know, but my son does not like them, but I think it's mostly because every time he walks down the stairs from his bedroom, I start, singing, what's that? Here Comes the Sun. What is that?
Yeah, Here Comes the Sun.
Here Comes the Sun. Yeah, I start singing Here Comes the Sun, and he really does not like that.
The eyes are rolling all over the place, aren't they?
Buddy, you have no idea how much my family rolls their eyes at me. All day, every day. It happens. Actually, you all do know because you hear the dumb stuff I say here. All right. So we went with, what did we go with? True Colors?
True Colors.
All right.
One and only Cyndi Lauper.
The one and only Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Are you familiar with a movie called Just One of the Guys?
Just One of the Guys. Sounds familiar. Who's
in it? Do we know? 80s comedy where the girl goes undercover as a boy.
Right. Yeah, I vaguely remember this. I don't know that I've even seen it, but I remember it.
There's a semi-famous scene at the end where the male lead completely mispronounces Cyndi Lauper's name.
Yeah.
He calls her Cyndi Lauper. And they just leave it in the movie.
Really?
Yeah. We're like, who's he talking about?
Cyndi, maybe it is Cyndi Lauper.
So I tend to call her Cyndi Lauper by accident now.
Okay, that's fine. Not her best song. Cyndi Lauper. That's not True Colors. Not her best song. Or do you think it is?
It's a good song, but I don't think it's her best one.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Also an 80s movie.
Yeah. Gosh, we're getting off the path here. Go Reds or something, I think, right? Is that where we are?
Go team.
Go team. My wife saw Tiffany and Debbie Gibson in concert last year, or 2 years ago, when you could go to concerts.
Tiffany was the first concert I ever went to.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So this is, you know, you that's kind of a question people ask, you know, what's the first concert you went to? Mine was 1987 or 8. It was at Kings Island. Ooh. Had an amphitheater there.
Yeah.
You know, a buddy of mine called and said, hey, I got tickets, and we had season passes to the park. So we went to see Tiffany with a special guest, a brand new band out of Boston. The New Kids on the Block.
That's funny because the concert my wife went to was Tiffany and Debbie Gibson, but also New Kids on the Block and Naughty by Nature. And my wife only went for her favorite group, Salt and Pepper.
That's pretty good.
It is. Yeah. Good. Push it real good. Wow, Tiffany. Do you know who my first, because that question does get asked, and so I've told it before, but you know who my first concert was?
I do not.
Not till the early 90s.
Meatloaf?
It was Meatloaf. It was. No, it was not Meatloaf. I hate Meatloaf in all its forms, including its musical forms. It was A Tribe Called Quest.
Ooh, that's a good, don't know how they'd be in concert, but that's a great band.
Well, they were good, but I guess I'll tell you the story about it. You know, it was when I was at my first year of college, and so they came to the university and put on a show. And, you know, I was a little out of place there. I sat down in like the back row because it was like general admission, you know?
Yep.
And so Q-Tip comes running. He's in A Tribe Called Quest. He comes running around and, you know, it's a good show. I love it because I love Tribe Called Quest when I was in high school. Just absolutely adored him. But so he's trying to get everybody to stand up. And I was like, I don't want to stand up. You know, I'm kind of embarrassed to be here in some ways. I'd love these guys, but I don't know. I felt out of place. But and so he stops in front of me. He's like, come on, you got to get up. So he's looking at me. And I got up and I left my wallet in El Segundo.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So that's pretty good. I'd like to have seen that.
That's my tribe story.
I saw... Your wife said Naughty by Nature, right?
Yeah, she's.
I saw those guys at the Riverfront Coliseum one time, around that, you know, early 90s.
How were they?
I saw They were good, you know. They were good. And rap shows are kind of hit or miss because sometimes the sound's terrible and sometimes the guys are playing off a recorded track and they're just jumping around. But that was good. I saw Digital Underground down there, Heavy D, Public Enemy, Kid and Play.
Wow. Would you believe I listened to a Digital Underground song just today and I was trying to compose a tweet about it in my head as I was listening? Do you know which song it was?
No, which?
Do What You Like.
Oh, that's a great song. Did I read a thing the other day that said, what's the guy's name? The main singer of Digital Underground.
I can't remember. They were good.
Yeah. Well, the one guy, he passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he died a few years ago. Shock G, that's the guy.
Shock G, there you go.
Yeah.
But he was also the other guy, right?
He didn't die a couple years ago. He died 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Yeah, so these guys were characters. And like Humpty Hump was the character. And anyway, at the funeral, his brother was like, yeah, you know, sometimes my brother would just like let me be Humpty Hump at concerts.
Really?
And he'd like put on the glasses and the nose and go out and do his thing.
Yeah, I only found out like 5 years ago that they were different people. I mean, that was the same person, I mean.
I definitely didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, I had no way I knew it, no.
I'm like, they got a lot of rappers in this band.
Yeah. Something about the Biscuits. Yeah, gosh, wow. So anyway.
R.I.P. Shock G.
Yeah, really, I didn't know he died. I'm glad I didn't make a joke about Digital Underground today.
Too soon.
Yeah, too soon. So now, when you went to see Naughty by Nature, were you in fact down with OPP?
I would have been.
Yeah, I wanted to be. Yeah. Oh, yes. All right. We gotta go. I'm gonna have to cut the last 15 minutes of this podcast off. Just edit it out. I think this is crazy. We've gone off on a tangent again. Any final thoughts about the actual Cincinnati Reds, Chris?
They're gonna keep going.
They will go. Go Reds. He's Chris Garber. I'm Chad Dotson. If you're listening to us, you know how to find us. I'm not going to tell you, but go tell your friends about us or something. I don't know. Just, I don't know. Whatever. I don't care. Don't tell your friends. Just keep listening. We have fun here.
Keep it to yourself.
Just keep it to yourself. We don't deserve anyone, any more listeners. Okay. Whatever. For Chris Garber and the dynamic duo of Barry Larkin and Joe Morgan, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app and join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.